to celebrate is now. And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The time for rejoicing is now. Let us praise God.
Be seated. Sisters and brothers, I say to you, good evening. Close. But let me get this straight. This is the night where the greatest of all stories is told, the coming of a Savior whom prophets had foretold. Where angels serenade shepherds with song, and a star hanging high drew the magi along. It is a night of majesty and mystery, a night to change all human history. And the best you've got when I say good evening is... So maybe let's try that again. Good evening.
Good evening!
Tonight, I welcome you here to this holy place. I invite you to let go of everything that has come before on this day and all that remains yet to be done. And I invite you to simply be here now. Put down those smartphones, power down those iPads, and instead empower your hearts, your minds, and your imagination, and most of all, listen. Listen. For tonight, amidst all of the crowds and songs and candles flickering in the night, we don't just tell the story of something that happened a long time ago in a place far, far away. We tell the story of something that is still unfolding right here in Stockbridge. A story where angels bring to us good tidings of great joy. A story where there is born unto us a Savior. A Savior, those angels say, who shall be for all people. All people. You can look all you like in the Bible. You will find no caveats or asterisks next to that word all. You will find no exclusions or fine print. The Savior for whom we gather to greet tonight, the little babe in that manger, comes for you. And you. And you. And for you. To offer healing, hope, forgiveness, a new start where you need it, and grace upon grace. So tonight, and in that spirit, we welcome all people. All. The old and the young, the saint and the sinner, the gay and the straight, the joyful and the sorrowful, the lonely and the partnered, the parent and the child, those who can't wait for this time of year, and those who quite frankly can't wait for it to be over. And especially tonight, we welcome all of you for whom this time of year is especially difficult, whether it connected to loss, grief, sadness, or burden. So know this, no matter who you are, and no matter where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here to this beautiful place and this holy time. Friends, we have come to greet the Prince of Peace. And so before we do another thing, before we settle in to listen, I invite you to stand as you are able and turn to one another and offer the gift that Christ child came to give, a gift that is given that it might grow. Friends, the peace of Christ be with you. Now give it to each other. When you have given away enough peace and shared enough love, I invite you to open your bulletin and open your mouths and sing the first Noel.
Tonight, as we relight the four Advent candles, we remind ourselves of God's promise of hope, peace, joy, and love. Even as the days have grown shorter in Advent, these candles have been reminders of the gathering of light and of the approach of God's great gift to us in Christ.
With eyes silent, ears attuned, hearts alert, we gather around the belief on last time, longing to receive the word in the words.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of the burden and the bar across your shoulders, the rod of the oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For all the boots, the tramping warriors, and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
This night, these words are fulfilled in our hearing and in our living, for the promise of God has come to us.
So light and
in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Will you please rise and remain standing for the next two readings and hymns. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Thank you. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
Please be seated. Will you pray with me? Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Of all the things I hope for you on this night, of all the things that I wish for you as we gather here in the beauty of this place, and later as we go our separate ways to homes likely twinkling with lights on trees and maybe even fires in fireplaces, of all the things I wish for you on this night is that you and I might be more like those shepherds out in the field. You see, those tending their flocks by night, they were not the movers and shakers of their time. Those shepherds did not live amidst the circles of the influential or the powerful. In fact, quite the opposite. Shepherds, both socially and economically, were far more those who were moved than the movers. Definitely more shaken by the troubles of the world than those doing the shaking. And tonight, there is nothing more that I wish for you than that you and I might be more like those shepherds. You see, shepherds in those long and quiet nights, once they had safely guided their flocks to wherever they were going to bed, usually around a little bit of brush, or perhaps a small outcropping of rock, something that might give them a little bit of protection once the sheep had settled in. Those shepherds, they had a long time to think, to pray, and to reflect both about the state of their own lives and the state of the larger world. There amongst shimmering stars and slumbering sheep, I wonder what they would have thought about their own times. I wonder what they would have thought about the direction in which their world was heading. I have no doubt that on most of those nights, they would have given thanks to God for the many blessings in their life. And I hope that sometime between tonight and tomorrow, between all of the festivity and all of the activity, that you find some quiet space and some quiet time to thank God for all of the blessings in your life. But I also know those shepherds, they were human beings just like you and I, so I know they would have fretted about some of the things that you and I often fret about. Our children, or the lack thereof. Our careers, or the lack thereof. Our health, or the lack thereof. Our finances, or the lack thereof. And make no mistake about it, while these shepherds were not the newsmakers of the day, they were a tight-knit community. They would have known the news of the day. They would have heard and relayed the accounts, the worries, the rumors, and the stories with other shepherds who had traveled from other places and heard and seen different things. And on that night so long ago, I got to tell you, the news, like now, was troubling at best. They would have been exposed to accounts of warfare and violence in far-off places with exotic names and violence closer to home on city streets. They would have heard worries that the government, that noble Senate elected in Rome, was acting in its own interests rather than the people's. They would have heard rumors of corruption, violence, and protest, stories of widows going hungry and children without homes. And those shepherds would have shared those with one another and taken it all in. And there in the midst of the night, while their sheep were slumbering, they would have thought about it. Because you see, in troubled times, it was the shepherds who simply got moved out of the way. When the world was in turmoil, it was the shepherds whose lives were shaken. And now maybe it is just because I'm the father of a 16-month-old. Maybe it is just because of my calling as a pastor and the many conversations I have with organizations and people who share so many joys and so many challenges. Or maybe it is because I am blessed to live in a place where we don't hide from the world, rather we engage it. I don't know what it is, but I got to tell you that the news as of late, the accounts, the worries, the rumors, and stories that have come my way, they have made my heart heavy indeed. Ebola, Syria, ISIS, Pakistani children gunned down in their schools, clashes between civilians and police, protest, violence, looting, and more violence, a climate changing rapidly before our eyes, and a government stalled completely in Washington. If you know me, you would know that I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I believe in God's great abundance, and yet there are times when I worry about the balance of good and evil we see in our world. There are times where I worry about where we are going and what kind of world my son will grow up in. And I got to tell you, the multitudes of polls, stats, and information out there, and the nods that I've seen on more than one of your heads tell me that I'm not alone in those concerns. And so, more than anything tonight, what I wish for you and for me is that we might be more like those shepherds. Because you see, on that night so long ago, with the world in turmoil and the future in doubt, it would have been so easy for those shepherds to give up or to give in. It would have been easy to see the glass half empty. It would have been easy for them to just mind their own business and let the movers move and the shakers shake. But on this day, so long ago, when angels came to give the good tidings of great joy, despite the fact that the story tells us those shepherds were scared out of their wits, they dared to show amazing courage. They dared, you see, to trust in the story their father's father had told them about a God who meets the people and always offers them new beginnings. They dared to remember the promises of their God that those who walk in darkness shall see a great light. That the boots of the tramping warriors and all of those garments that have been drenched in blood of the world's violence, they will be burned as fuel for the fire of light and life. And those shepherds, they refused to settle for what was, for they followed a God of what yet might be. They refused to be shaken, for they knew that no matter how bad it looks out there, that there is hope, and it often comes in the most unexpected of ways. They knew that miracles can and do happen, and that miracles change everything. And so in the next reading, the one you're about to hear, you'll hear that those shepherds, they got up and they went. They left those flocks and they found a miracle beyond miracles in a ramshackle stable in the backwoods town of kings long dead. If you listen to the story as it continues, you will hear that miracle changed everything about them. You will hear that what they found was so astonishing that they told everybody that they knew. That in the eyes of that tiny baby, they saw something so glorious, so miraculous, and so life-changing that they returned to their homes singing songs, glorifying and praising God. On this Christmas Eve, when darkness seems to abound, brothers and sisters, refuse to be shaken. In these times when good and evil seem to hang in the balance, refuse to be shaken. Instead, I pray that you and I, like those shepherds out there, maybe scared out of our wits, will still be able to dare to see miracle and hope and transformation in the events of this very night. And then tomorrow, in the midst of flying paper, in the midst of food spread out on tables and family and friends gather around, don't just settle for the miracle that it all comes off without a hitch. Instead, stop back and look at this miracle, at the miracle of tonight. The one that changes everything. And maybe it is just because I'm the father of a 16-month-old son. Maybe it is because of my calling as a pastor and I see the need in those I serve. Or maybe it is because I am so blessed to live in a place where we don't hide from the world, but rather we engage it. I will refuse to be shaken. And instead, tonight, I will stand with those shepherds. Tonight, I will dare to trust in the stories of those who have gone before, to remember the promises of God and lean in to hope, to refuse to be shaken, because tonight I will look at the light, knowing to the depth of my being that there is nothing, nothing in all of creation that can put that light out. And that, my friends, if that doesn't give us hope, I don't know what will. So on this night, my deepest prayer, my most fervent wish, is that you and I would be more like those shepherds. Amen.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, with which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told about them, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. These shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Tonight, as we pray here within these walls, we join our hearts and minds with all people everywhere who pray on this night. And for tonight's prayer, we turn to one of the greatest minds and faithful people the world has ever known, a Protestant professor and theologian named Karl Barth, someone who Pope Pius XII called the most important theologian since Thomas Aquinas. One of the things that made Barth so extraordinary is the way he lived his life. And toward the end of his life, for the last 10 years, he spent with prisoners in the town of Basel where he lived. And he would worship with them and pray with them. Barth claimed his brotherhood and solidarity with all who were imprisoned. As he said, both for those who happened to be in cells and for all of us who were imprisoned by countless other things. The prayer that I will offer tonight was one offered at a Christmas Eve worship service in 1958 in that prison. So let us join our hearts with all those who have come before as I join the words with Karl Barth in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we are gathered here to rejoice in thy dear Son, who became man and a brother for our sake, we beseech thee most heartily, show us how great is the mercy, loving kindness, and help that thou hast prepared in him for us all. Open our hearts and our understanding, and we shall grasp that in him is forgiveness of all our sins. In him is seed and growth for new life. In him is comfort and counsel in life and death. And through him is hope for the whole world. Create in us a true spirit of freedom to go out humbly and courageously and meet thy Son who comes to meet us. Grant today to the whole Christian church and to the world as well that many may break through the glitter and vanity of the holiday season and truly celebrate Christmas with us. And let us say together, Amen. This evening is not just a night of remembrance. It is not just a night of storytelling and singing. It is a night of transformation, a night where we allow ourselves to be transformed by the love of God. In a moment, I will ask you to rise and to say together the Christmas Creed. But I want you to look in your bulletins and see a word that appears many times. It is the word believe. You need to know that that word believe doesn't mean an intellectual concept held up here. When you see the word believe in a setting like this one, it means to give your heart to. It means to give your life to. It means to give yourself over to. And so every time you say that word, I believe, think of giving yourself over to it. And now will you rise that we might proclaim our Christmas Creed together? Together we say out loud, I believe in Jesus Christ, and in the power of the gospel begun in Bethlehem. I believe in the one whose spirit glorified a small village, of whose coming shepherds saw the sign, and for whom there was no room at the inn. I believe in the one whose life changed the course of history, over whom the rulers of the earth had no power, and who is not understood by the proud. I believe in the one to whom the oppressed, the discouraged, the afflicted, the sick, the blind, and the injured gave welcome and accepted as Lord and Savior. I believe in the one who, with love, changed the hearts of the proud, and with his life showed that it is better to serve than to be served, and that the greatest joy is giving your life for others. I believe in peace, which is not the absence of war, but justice among all people and nations, and love among all. I believe in reconciliation, forgiveness, the transforming power of the gospel. I believe that Christmas is strength and power, and that this world can change if, with humility and faith, we kneel before the manger. I believe that I must be the first one to do so. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we come together to celebrate the greatest gift we have ever received. Here, this worship service is a gift from this church to you. Tonight, we are going to ask you for a gift, not to benefit the coffers of this church. Every single penny, every single check and bill that you put in the plates and baskets that are about to come your way will go right out the doors of this church. They will go to the Retired Minister's Fund to help pastors and clergy who serve their entire life the church only to find they had no retirement because the church couldn't afford it. And so tonight, everything that you give will go to those who use their life to give and give. It is in that Christmas spirit that this evening's offering will be given and received.
Thank you.
Sisters and brothers, will you rise for the reading of the gospel as recorded in the first chapter of John? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of humanity, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and of truth. This is the good news for today. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the water. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined.
I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God Almighty.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light.
And there will not be light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light.
For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of God has risen upon you.
For once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of the light.
This is the message we have heard from Jesus and proclaim to you, that God is light.
Whoever says, "I am in the light," while hating a brother or sister, is still in darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light.
Walk in the light as he is in the light.
For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
Oh,
Please blow out your candles so that we may depart in safety and peace. You are welcome after the benediction to stay seated for the bell postlude, or you are welcome to go greet this holy night. And now, brothers and sisters, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God just enough that you need fear nothing else at all. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds as one until we meet again. And let the people say, Amen. Amen.